Hello, and welcome to the Faithbrook Church Messages Podcast. Whether you're exploring faith, new to faith, or actively following Jesus, we're so glad you're tuning in, and we hope that these weekly messages will encourage, challenge, and inspire you. Life is not meant to be done alone, and our hope is that these messages will lead you into a new and thriving life in Christ. Now let's listen to this message from our lead pastor, Jim Comfort.
Well, good morning. Welcome to Faithbrook on this Mother's Day. I'm Pastor Jim. Good to have you. Everyone's looking so springy. Is it not a beautiful day? Turn to someone next to you and say, you're looking good. All right? If they're a mother, tell them, Happy Mother's Day. Yes, I know a lot of husbands are doing their best to pull the weight today. Do you know why computers are so smart? Because they always listen to the motherboard. How about that? Yeah, okay. Well, I'll try another time. Hey, have you ever been betrayed before? You know, someone went behind your back and hurt you pretty bad. I was having this conversation with this guy the other day. He's like, yeah, me and some friends were trying to come together and have a collaborative, come together and have a business, collaborate on starting a new business. So we had these Zoom meetings every month or so, and we came to this kind of idea, and the group was like, I think this could work. So the next time we got together, we noticed one of the group members was kind of being quiet, just kind of pulling back. And so we kind of confronted him, what's going on? Is there a problem? And he finally confessed. He says, well, you need to know that to me and my girlfriend, we took our group's idea and we registered the business, and we're going to own the business. And man, that hurt him. That hurt the group. How dare him take that idea that the group was coming together and start their own business? And you can imagine the riff. You can imagine the betrayal and a little bit of anger that just kind of set around that group. And of course, that friendship was totally broken. Well, betrayal, grief, loss is kind of where we've been going in this series on Joseph. It's called The Hand You're Dealt. Joseph, back in the first book of the Bible, Genesis, had a lot of bad hands that came his way. We began to discover him, that he was the favored young son, and his brothers did not appreciate him, so they plotted to kill him. They threw him in this pit, left him all alone, and then one of the brothers said, I got a better idea. Let's just sell him into slavery. We can make a couple of bucks. And next thing you know, he was dealt a bad hand. He's on his way to a foreign country, Egypt. He knew nobody. He's all by himself. He gets bought by this estate owner, Potiphar. He owns this big estate. And he says, well, get working. So Joseph went from the favored son, and now he's just a common grunt, a slave, lost his father. And he's like wondering, what's going on, God? Well, he didn't stop there. We learned that it's not so much about the hand that you're dealt, but what do you do with that hand? And Joseph chose to say, okay, I'm going to do my best. I'm going to leave the rest with God. He got the work. He had some integrity. Pretty soon, the owner, Potiphar, is like, hey, this young man, he seems to be capable. He's not trying to rip me off. He has some integrity. Let's put him in charge of more things. He got promoted. Pretty soon, he's running the whole joint. And the Potiphar said, I'm so impressed with you that I'll just leave you in charge of everything. I'm going to go do my business. Well, last week, we learned that what the owner left behind was his wife. And she's bored and she's lurking around. And she notices that the fine young man, that Joseph, he's pretty handsome. Everything he touches turns to gold. And so she tries to come on him. And he's like, no, thank you. And one day she traps him. They're all alone in this house. And she says, come to bed with me. Come on to bed with me. And he did the right thing. And we learned that he ran. He wasn't going to trade God's best for Satan's worst. He had the fortitude and he had the conviction with his holy God that he's not going there. And so he ran. Well, you think that God would have honored that and celebrated that. But if you continue to read that story in Genesis 39, he got another bad hand dealt to him. This lady got upset and she held on to that cloak. She called the household servants. The scriptures tell us, look, she said, this Hebrew has been brought to us to make sport of us. He came in here to sleep with me. Yes, he's trying to take advantage of me. But I screamed. And when he heard me scream for help, he left his cloak beside me and ran out of the house. See, I got it right here. Well, she was so scheming and evil that she held on to that cloak. And she was going to frame Joseph. So her husband comes home, the owner of this big estate, and she holds that thing up and says, you know that Hebrew slave you put in charge, Joseph? You've been real impressed with him, but he came and tried to take advantage of me. But as he tried to seduce me, I screamed. And he got so scared that he ran out of the house, but I still have the evidence right here. This is his cloak. You know it's owned to him. Well, the story continues. When the master heard the story, his wife told him, saying, this is how your slave treated me. He burned with anger. Joseph's master took him, and he put him in prison and placed him where the king's prisoners were confined. And the king these days was Pharaoh. Okay, great. So here's Joseph. He's like, God, I'm going to honor you. I'm not going to give in to Satan's trap. I'm going to choose your best. And all of a sudden, I'm falsely accused. And now I'm down in this dungeon. I'm down in this prison. Are you kidding me? What's going on? What would you do? Now, Joseph has to make a choice. And he chose once again to do his best and leave God with the rest. He can't control it, but he's going to do his best. The scriptures tell us that while Joseph was in the prison, and those days it was usually down in some caves or in a dungeon in those ancient primitive days, the Lord was with him. He showed him kindness and granted him favor in the eyes of the prison warden. So the warden put Joseph in charge of all those held in prison, and he was made responsible for all those that was done there. The warden paid no attention to anything under Joseph's care because the Lord was with Joseph and he gave him success whatever he did. Now, this remind you of anything? This is almost the exact same verbiage that was given to Joseph when he was put into Potiphar's house, that the Lord was with him. When we talked about the word Lord in the Hebrew is Adonai. It's one of the words for God. It's the softer version of God, Adonai, who was with Joseph. And so Joseph did his best, and he was all of a sudden he's promoted. Once again, he's showing some integrity and wants to show the responsibility. Next thing you know, the warden, just like Potiphar's like, hey, you can have it all. I'm gonna go do my thing, just be in charge of everything. Well, Joseph did not whine, and he took charge. The scriptures tell us that all of a sudden they got some new inmates. The new inmates coming in was Pharaoh's, some of the staff. It was Pharaoh's cupbearer and his baker. I don't know if the baker had bad bread or bad cake, whatever, but they ticked him off. And he said, you're going to prison, baker, and take along the cupbearer. Now, the cupbearer in the ancient days, especially in royalty, there would be someone that would always taste the wine or the drink before the king because people would try to assassinate the king. So they had some flunky. He said, you drink it first. If you croak over, then we know it was bad, but go ahead and drink. So there's this cupbearer, and they're down there, and the warden says, well, you go over there, and the guy that's in charge around here is Joseph. You'll like him. And get to know him. So they're in prison with Joseph. Here he is. Two more people he's got to be responsible for. Apparently, they get to know each other. One day, the scriptures tell us that these two guys had some dramatic dreams. It really shook them up. We know that because the scriptures tell us that when Joseph went in to check on them in the morning, they're kind of like freaked out. Man, they are worried. They are scared. They don't know what's going on. He's like, what's wrong with you? They said, man, we had these dreams last night, and we don't know what to think of these dreams, and we wish we had someone to interpret these dreams. And Joseph said, well, dreams are left up to God. God can interpret the dreams. Well, they're like, I know, but how do we get to God? And Joseph said, well, I know God. I know the Adonai. Let me hear him, and let's see if I can interpret them. So the cupbearer, he goes first. He says, man, it was this vine branch, and there's these three branches. These three branches, they started blooming, and they materialized in some grapes, and then they got squeezed down in some wine, and I was serving it up. The dream was I was serving the cup back up to the Pharaoh once again. And Joseph, oh, I know what God wants me to tell you. The three branches really symbolize 3 days. In 3 days, you're going to be released from prison, and you're going to be back at your position helping out the Pharaoh. It's like, oh, great, thank you. Now, Joseph, was pretty smart too, and he asked them a favor. He says in verse 14, let's go to the next slide. Okay, yeah. Okay, well, maybe we're not going to that next slide. There we go. Okay, but when all goes well with you, he says to this cupbearer guy, remember me and show me kindness. Mention me to Pharaoh, because he can pardon me. He has that ability. And get me out of this prison. I was forcibly carried off from the land of the Hebrews. And even here, I've done nothing to deserve being put in a dungeon. It's dark. It is not good. And if you could give me a break, please. I've helped you. You help me get Pharaoh. Remember me, please. Okay, well, now there's the baker. He's looking on to this. He's like, hey, I got a dream too. And this is what my dream was. He says, I had these three baskets of bread on my head. I don't know what got them there, but three baskets. And the birds came and landed in these baskets. And they're pecking away, eating all this bread. What does that mean? And Joe's like, I got some good news and I got some bad news for you, okay? The good news is, like the cupbearer, you're going to be released from prison in 3 days. You're getting out of here in 3 days, yeah? But the bad news is it's not going to go good for you. Now, you're going to be impaled. In other words, your head's going to be put on a stake. And not to be graphic here, but as the birds are pecking the bread, they're going to be pecking your eyes out. And you're a dead man. So sorry to tell you that bad news, but it's not going to be too good. Well, the Bible tells us that 3 days later, guess what? Pharaoh's birthday shows up, and he wants to have a big birthday party. And he's looking around. And he says, man, I need some staff. I need a birthday cake. And where's that baker? Oh, shoot. I sent him down to the dungeon, the prison. Get that guy back up here. I need a cake. And sure enough, man, the baker gets released in 3 days, just like the dreams had. And, I don't want anybody to kill me. Get the cupbearer. Get him up here, right? And sure enough, there's the cupbearer. He serving Pharaoh. It's going well, just like the dreams. And poor guy, Baker, now he's taken out back, head chopped off, and birds are eating him away. It was a bad deal. Now, Joseph gets wind of this, and he's like, yes, God's on my side, and pretty soon I'm going to be released because my cupbearer friend, I've helped him, he's going to help me, and everything's going to go good. Not necessarily. All of a sudden, another bad hand comes his way. The scriptures tell us that the chief cupbearer, however, did not remember Joseph, and he forgot him. Are you kidding me? Can you imagine the thoughts and the grief that's going through Joseph? I've been a good guy. I helped you out. You forgot me? It's like you betrayed me. And all of a sudden, he's left with another bad hand. I'm stuck. The scriptures tell us he would be in that dungeon for another 2 years. What do you do with that? Can you imagine the emotions he's walking through? Can you imagine the questions? Can you imagine the temptation to get bitter? Can you imagine the temptation to fall away from his faith? I'm sure maybe that some of the other prisoners are like, what's up with Joseph? Man, his head's down. He's just kind of drifting away. Yeah. Because life is not making sense. It just feels like he's stuck. He's in this dungeon. Have you ever been there? Maybe there might be some people here today, might be some people watching today. You feel like Joseph, that you've been forgotten or you've been betrayed and you're in a dungeon. Maybe you've experienced someone truly betraying you in a marriage situation, someone having an affair on you. So sometimes it's a matter of infertility for mothers. They want to be a mother. They're praying that God, why can't I conceive? Why can't I start having children? What's wrong with me? Some people have been felt like they've been betrayed because they have a serious bout of cancer, or all of a sudden they lost their job, or someone they dearly loved died prematurely, and they're like, God, where are you? I'm alone in my grief and loss. I've known of mothers who have lost babies prematurely, or children in life that had an accident or cancer, and it's so hard to grapple with that. There's mothers that are dealing with their kids that have made poor choices on the streets, are addicted to drugs, fentanyl, etc., and they feel like they're walking in this dark dungeon. and not knowing where God is. And when we're in those dark dungeons, when we're all alone in our grief and our questions, there's all kinds of perplexities in our faith, in our theology, in our emotions, in our spirit. Of course, we're human, and so there's questions. Just like Joseph probably had questions. God, are you punishing me? Did I do some kind of sin over here? Are you upset? Why is these people, that they don't even care about you? They seem to be succeeding. They seem to be able to have children, and things are going well, but not in my life. Where are you? Before you know it, it's easy to just kind of sulk down in your dungeon and maybe even give up on God. One of the darkest stories or characters that kind of parallel a little with Joseph is an Old Testament figure called Job. Job was a righteous man. He believed in God. But that Satan came and asked God, says, I don't think Joseph will follow you and care for you. And God said, well, I believe he will. He said, yeah, because everything's great in his life. Wait till he goes through afflictions. Wait till he goes through some suffering. I think he'll give up on you. And so God said, well, I'll take that bet. You can afflict him. So he allowed Joseph to go through some afflictions. It was horrible. Storms came by and took his crops, his livelihood. Pretty soon his family was lost, grief and death. Pretty soon his body was afflicted, and there Job is sitting there with all his questions and all his darkness. We see a lot of his emotions in the book of Job, of just living in suffering and in the valley. At one point he says this, I loathe my very life. Therefore, I will give free rein to my complaint and speak out in my bitterness of my soul. I say to God, do not declare me guilty, but tell me what charges you have against me. Does it please you to oppress me and spurn the work of your hands while you smile at the plans of the wicked? These illustrations, example of desperation, bring into question about suffering. And the question would be something like this. Do we know how to suffer well? Do we know how to suffer? Now, let's face it, in the suburbs, especially in America, we don't suffer that much, right? And when suffering comes, we don't know how to handle that. I mean, sometimes the biggest suffering these days is the barista got our $7 latte wrong, our order wrong, right? Or, oh, we got stuck in traffic. Oh, or I'm having a bad hair day. I'm suffering. Really? And when we do suffer, we're just like, quick, let's get to the doctor, give me a pill, and I'm believing I need instant relief. But when the instant relief doesn't come, that really aggravates us. And before we know it, man, we are suffering. We might be hurting. And what do we do about that? What do we do about when people betray maybe a business idea or a romance or a relationship? How do we handle that? Especially if they're afflictions and sicknesses and problems that just keep coming and coming. Before we know it, we're in a dungeon of darkness, wondering about God. One time, St. Teresa of Lisieux was caught saying this, Lord, you would have more friends if you treat the ones you have better. And sometimes we feel like, God, you're not treating me well. And I don't know what to do with this valley. I don't know what to do with this dungeon, this imprisonment, this suffering. So can I offer you something today? If you feel like you're in a dungeon, maybe you're watching online because, man, I didn't want to come to church. Everybody else seems to be prospering and doing well, but I feel like I've been afflicted. I'm down here in my valley, and I'd rather just sit at home. I don't blame you sometimes. But can I offer you this? God may delay, but he doesn't forget. Yes, God may delay the deliverance and the healing and the solution, but God never forgets. Because in that delay, just like Joseph, just like Job, he puts us through a process. He's letting us suffer a little bit. And sometimes we have to learn how to suffer well. And remember that God may delay, but he hasn't forgotten us. So while we're in this delay, while we're in this process, let me give you three things to hang on to. Three things to remember. First one, to remember God's faithfulness. You know, I notice when bad things come my way, instantly like, well, I'm not sure if God's faithful. And then I'm like, oh, you know, he's been faithful through my life. And I want to encourage you to remember how God's been faithful when you was a child, when you was a teenager, or maybe in college and so on. Has not God been faithful? I'd also encourage you to remember God's faithfulness in the Word of God. And when we suffer and we have questions, I think God does that on purpose sometimes. So we have to go and we got to start, well, what does he say about suffering? Oh, I never read about Job. Oh, I never read about Joseph. Man, I could tell you many times as a pastor, people have confided to me, say, I don't understand, Pastor. Why is cancer always showing up in my family and in my situation? And I feel like I got set back. I feel like there's no hope. And I take them to Joseph. I say, here's a godly guy named Joseph. And he, several times, he had some bad hands and bad things, and yet he did not give up. We see the nature of God, that God is interested in the life. We see the nature of God, that he can heal. And many times, especially in the gospel, it's just instant deliverance. And we pray for that, that there's healing and there's relief. Yes. But at the same time, there's places in the Bible that he says, not this time. This time you're going to have to learn to endure. There's many places in the Bible, blessed is the person who perseveres, for they receive the crown of life that God has promised those. To learn that God will help us instantly or through it, he will see us through. Maybe this is what sustained Joseph, that God's been faithful in the past. God gave me a dream. I'm not going to give up on that dream. I have to trust and remember in his faithfulness. The second thing I want you to remember when God's delaying, things don't make sense, you feel like you're in a dungeon, is to remember the facts. And one of the facts that I want to give you today is that it's not all right in the world. So our world is broken. We are living in a sin-cursed world. It goes all the way back to the Genesis, the beginning of the world, right? That before you know it, we live in a tragic world, that there's accidents that happen. Bad things happen to good people. There are storms, there are diseases. We don't all have it figured out. And sometimes we're so surprised that afflictions come our way when we're like, oh, that's part of our world. We even see that Jesus, he endured afflictions. He suffered on the cross. He was betrayed and rejected. And no one is immune from suffering in our world. Jesus said, it rains on the just and the unjust. Sometimes we're so surprised when we have afflictions, we're like, this shouldn't happen to us. Well, the devil's out there and he wants to take us down. That's another fact. He loves to leverage bad things and say, see, your God doesn't work. See, if God really loved you, he would relieve you from that pain, and he doesn't care. And so why don't you just give up on your relationship? Just give up on your faith with God. He's always there. That's one of the facts. Here's a fact for you. This one's might be a little hard. It's not your party. Now, this is going to stretch you a little bit. What I mean by that is that if we grow up in America, we're taught and indoctrinated that we're going to start our own party and our own plan. And that's a good thing, right? What career do you want to do? What's your goals? What's your aspirations? And you're like, yeah, I want help. And all of a sudden, we might have some concussions or some disasters. And next thing you know, it doesn't turn out the way we thought. And we struggle with that because we had our mind. We're going to have 3 kids. They're all going to be healthy. I'm going to get promoted and we're going to live here, all kinds of stuff. And all of a sudden, there's divorces, there's cancers, there's death, there's losses. And we're like, whoa. And we come to a crisis in our faith to learn, hopefully, oh, it's not my party. It's God's party. One of the most powerful statements that was in a Christian book the last 30 years, many of you maybe read this by Rick Warren, The Purpose-Driven Life. It sold millions, probably the biggest, largest, most popular Christian book that's ever been sold, The Purpose-Driven Life. The first couple of words in the whole book says this, it's not about you. It's not about you. What was Warren trying to say? The purpose of life is not for your agenda and your party. It's God's agenda, God's party. And if we can get past ourselves, go, oh, I thought God was to serve me. I thought God was just my co-pilot and help me achieve my goals, when God's like, I got goals and I want you to follow me. It's not about you. It's about God. And Joseph would have to learn that it's not his party. It's about God's party. God had greater plans for Joseph, and he would have to go through the process. He'd have to go through the setbacks. He'd have to go through this dungeon prison experience. This faith would have to be refined. See, in the Bible, that phrase refined is shared by several of the prophets and ministers. Refined by the fire, that precious gold, they would see him smelt it and burn off all the chaff and the uglies, make something pure. And God loves us enough that he's going to allow us to be refined by the fire. Peter shared this with people who are suffering in 1 Peter. He says, these things have come, speaking of afflictions, because they're asking their minister, they're asking, hey, why are we being oppressed? Why are we suffering here? They have come so that the proven genuineness of your faith, of greater worth than gold, which perishes even though refined by the fire, is your faith genuine, comes through in such a way that it results in praise, glory, honor when Jesus Christ is revealed? Do we know how to go through the process, the refinement, the suffering, and see that God has an agenda? That's one of the facts. You know, people that I kind of admire, that I've noticed one of the common denominators they have is that they understand suffering. They understand that life is not always easy. And I really am inspired by people who have overcome suffering. And there seems to be a steadiness about them. There seems to be a maturity about them. And they're able to bless and minister to other people because they've been in the fires. They've been in the dungeons. And they've seen God's faithfulness. Another fact that I want to encourage you with is that you are not alone. That is a fact. Now, when we're in dungeons, it feels like we're all alone. Joseph must have felt like, man, where's God? I got no friends down here. And that's one of the things God, Oswald Chambers says one time, he trusts us with silence. It's like, really? I don't like that. He trusts us with the silence. There was points in my life where he says, Jim, I'm not going to talk to you. I'm going to see if you still trust me. I'm going to trust you with it. You're not going to give up on it. But you're not alone. I'm watching you. Even though you can't feel me or see me, I'm with you. One of my favorite stories that I was introduced to was John the Baptist when he was suffering when he was in prison. Some of you know the story that, you know, he was close to Jesus, cousins Jesus, baptized Jesus. And so he ticks off the Roman official by calling out his inappropriate marriage and says, well, I hate you. So this king guy, Herod, he throws him in the prison. And it's bad. It's dungeon. It's ugly, right? He's all alone. And all of a sudden, the Gospels tell us that he's also questioning his faith. He's questioning the belief in Jesus because he thought, well, it's my party and everything's going to go good. And all of a sudden, man, it's not good. In fact, I got a good chance of losing my life right here in this prison. And so the Bible tells us that his friends or his disciples come and visit him. So they're having these conversations. And John says to them, will you do me a favor? What would you like for us to do, John? He says, I need you to go to Jesus. And I need to ask Jesus this question. Are you truly the Messiah? Are you truly the Messiah? What? Why are you asking that, John? John, you know he's the Messiah, right? You were there. You baptized Jesus. You saw the dove come down. You heard the voice of the heaven said, there's no greater. This is my child who I am well fond of. Jesus even said to all of us, you were there, John, there's no one greater on earth than John the Baptist. Your faith is awesome. Jesus thinks you're awesome. And now you're asking your question, if Jesus is truly the Messiah, what's going on? John's in a dungeon. John's faced with afflictions. John's got questions. When it gets dark and it gets perilous, we start questioning. And John was human, just like you and me. And when it's dark, we got questions. And so they went to Jesus and said, hey, you know, John, your cousin, he's not bad off. In fact, he's asked you to ask you, Jesus, if you're truly the Messiah. Jesus didn't get upset. How dare him? He should know better, right? Jesus said these words, you go tell John what you have seen and heard. You go tell John what you have seen and heard. And here's the point here, is so many times we need to hear God, and Jesus and God will send things in our life when we're in the darkest times. He just doesn't maybe show up and say, here, I'm Jesus, I'm going to deliver everything. But he'll send whispers, voices, and signs. It could be just the birds chirping to remind us, hey, oh, Matthew 6, we just sang about that, that he knows the sparrows. I hear a sparrow. Thank you, Jesus. It could be maybe even this message that God's inspired me to share this because someone here feels like I haven't heard from God and I'm in a dungeon. And God said, send the voice of the preacher. I'm speaking through the preacher. I'm speaking maybe through a song that's on a radio or a podcast. And you're like, I needed to hear that. Maybe it was a phrase or a bulletin board or something that God speaks through things to say, I haven't forgotten you. You go tell John what you've seen and heard, that I still raise the lame. I still can open the eyes of the blind. I still can heal. I am the Messiah. Now, the story of John, he wasn't delivered from his dungeon. He eventually would lose his life and die. But in that darkness, God did not forget him. You go tell John what you've seen and heard. And my friends, God will speak to you if you listen. It might not be giant. It still might be dark. But God will send signs to remind you, you are not alone. Third thing I want you to remember. Remember that God holds your future. Job would know that he had a future. Joseph would know that he would have a future. In fact, next week, I'm excited about the positive part of Joseph's story, that he will be exalted. And God's going to do some amazing things through his life. But today, he has to remember in that dungeon that God still has his future. And here's the deal. You have a future. You have a future. It might not be next month. It might not be in 2 years. But if you are a Christ follower and you put your faith in Christ Jesus, we have an eternal future. In fact, I love what Paul said in 2 Corinthians 4. He says, for our light and momentary troubles, we're all going to have troubles. They are achieving for us an eternal glory that far outweighs them all. In other words, when we get to heaven and we think about what heaven is, and then we look back at our suffering and our sorrows, it's going to be nothing compared to the eternal paradise glory. So he counsels these people. So you know what? So fix your eyes not on what is seen. Oh man, what we see circumstantially, man, can just eat us up, man. Always think, oh, that's bad. That's bad. I'm hurting, right? But what is unseen? That's Jesus. That's the spiritual. Since what is seen is temporary. Yes, our afflictions are temporary. But what is unseen is eternal. It's the spiritual things that the devil doesn't want us to think about when we're suffering. It's the Jesus. Keep your eyes on Christ. Keep your eyes on your future glory in heaven. Now, this is going to require faith, no doubt about it. When we're in our lowest times, we're in those dungeons like Joseph, it's going to take faith. And this is what I would suggest to you. A lot of times, we don't practice faith. We don't have to practice faith. We got enough money, we got enough education, and our health is good. And so, you know, we can, man. But when the chips are down and we're in darkness and we're in dungeons, we got a crisis of faith. Are we still going to believe in God when we don't understand? When we're not healed instantly and when things don't just come together, are we still going to believe in God? And here's that crisis of faith where we got to trust the process. We don't understand. We don't even appreciate it. It can be painful. But God's not going to waste our dungeons. He didn't waste Joseph's dungeons. He didn't waste Joseph's afflictions and his setbacks. He's not going to waste your dungeons and your pain. But it's going to take you to trust God, even in the midst of the afflictions. That's why we need to study Job sometime and Joseph. And Job went through a tremendous amount of suffering and setbacks. And one of the most profound statements that's in the Bible is this statement right here in Job 13. When Job said, though he slay me, yet I will trust him. Job is saying, man, I feel like God is killing me, but I'm making a choice today. I don't understand it, but yet I still trust God. That takes faith. There was a lady sharing about her suffering. Her name is Donna Miller. She shared that when her and her husband were younger, they had three kids. They answered the call to world missions. They were willing to be missionaries, and they were excited. And so their institution that kind of contracted with them said, we got a place for you. It's called Albania. There's a whole bunch of orphan kids, and we're trying to just kind of care for them and all these facilities and stuff, and we need some missionaries to help them. They said, we'll take it. And so they prayed and prepared. They did their best. And they went off to this Albania. And as soon as they landed there, they realized, man, we're not in Kansas anymore. This is a different place. And they said, well, we got a little apartment over here for your family. It's just a two-room apartment. Everything's kind of small. And over here in Albania, things are kind of limited. You just can't go down to the grocery store and get all the food that you want. It's kind of limited. The government's kind of rationing the food. The water's kind of sketchy. And you can't always count on electricity. And Donna Miller said, man, instantly there's like culture shock. We're like, whoa, okay. And pretty soon, homesickness started setting in. Communications were not that easy from back home. They're all kind of squashed in here. The kids are kind of whining, and they'd have to share things and maybe even share housing. Their kids started growing. It was not easy. The language was not easy. The culture was not easy. And so many times they didn't know if the government was going to collapse, and they were far from way, and there was fear and there was worry. And for 10 years, they would serve faithfully. She said, man, I would have to trust God. And we trusted God, but it was tough sometimes, frankly, she said. 10 years of serving their denomination, called them home, said, let's come home, take a break, let's evaluate. And they came home, and they didn't know what to do with themselves when they got home. She said it was like reverse cultural shock. Their kids didn't know about America. We didn't know about America. We kind of lost connection with all our friends. And here, our church institution was kind of passed around. Well, you can live here for a couple of weeks, and then this family will take you. For 3 or 4 months, they were just kind of like gypsies, just moving around. It was hard on the family, hard on the kids. They kind of settled down and tried to reacquaint themselves, but it wasn't always easy, especially on the kids. My oldest daughter did not assimilate well. In fact, she says when she turned 18, she said, I'm done with this family. I'm done with God. And she just left, and she did not talk to us for 3 years. We didn't know what she was doing. Can you imagine that? Her sister dealt with some anxiety and depression. Their son had some health complications, and it didn't feel like God was honoring us. All the years that we honored him and served him, well, what's going on? It was hard on our marriage, and there was tension. We thought we could count on some friends, and they promised this, but they didn't come through, and our church didn't come through, and we felt betrayed, and we felt like that we were kind of abused a little bit. And so when she was interviewed for this article about suffering, they asked her, well, looking back on your family, would you have done that again? You think you made the wrong decision? She said no. She said, if I could turn back time, I would change nothing except for trusting Jesus more fully and sooner. Now I know my suffering shaped me, she said. She said, I rejoice in God's good purpose within the suffering. For from suffering, God, she put it, forged glory. God forged glory. Forged me more like him, to depend more on him. In fact, she says that what I found was, quote, serenity in suffering. Serenity in suffering. The gift of his presence. The gift of his presence. I wonder if that's what Joseph was received when he was in that prison, when he was betrayed by that cupbearer that forgot him. That the only person he had left was God's presence. And he found serenity in his questions, in his emotions, in his disappointment. That God, he was not alone, and God would be with him. He didn't understand the master plan. He didn't understand why God delayed. But like we learned today, God may delay, but he doesn't forget. And God didn't forget Joseph. And we're going to learn a lot about that next week. But today, as we kind of wrap things up, I want to encourage you that if you're going through a valley, you feel like you're Joseph, that you've been dealt a bad hand, I want you to try to remember God's faithfulness. Remember in the past that God has been there, seen you through. Remember God's faithfulness in the Word of God and his promises. Remember the facts. Oh yeah, we live in a broken world. I'm not special just because I believe in Christ. That there's some bad things that can happen to me. Remember, though, in those bad things, you're not alone. It's not your party. It's God's party. Oh, okay. Maybe he's trying to get my attention of this, putting me through the process. And while I'm in the dungeon, listen. Is God sending you signs? Is there some books or some poems or some people or some birds, something that God's like, you go tell the person that's suffering what I've done and what I've said. God's still large and in charge and sees you. But it comes down to faith, personally, privately, somewhere like Job. You got to say, God, I'm still going to trust you. I don't understand. I don't appreciate it. Even though you might, I feel like you're slaying me, yet I will trust you. Let's pray together. Gracious God, sometimes we do feel like we're in a dungeon. But I pray this message, I pray this spirit, and I remind these people that God, you are with us. And you do have a plan, even in the delay. And you'll see us through. There might be some mothers or young ladies that are trying to be mothers. And it doesn't make sense why it doesn't happen. Or there's some grief and loss in their hearts. They don't understand that either, God. Just like probably Joseph, he didn't understand. But God, you never forgot Joseph. And you would eventually use his process and his dungeon experiences to lift him out and do greater things. I pray for anybody watching today, listening today, they would be encouraged, God, through the life of Joseph. Help us to live like him. Help us to live for you. Trust you. In Jesus' name, amen.
Thanks for tuning in to this episode of the Faithbrook Church Messages Podcast. If you're newer here at Faithbrook, we'd love the opportunity to connect with you and hear your story. To connect beyond listening today, we'd love for you to join us in person, or if you would please go to faithbrook.church/connect, fill out that form, and one of our staff will reach out to you soon. God bless and have a great day.